This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
We have a big episode of Stupidity because the biggest soccer game in the world is coming up. So we're going to bring in the God Bless Football crew. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code STU for a special offer when you sign up. That's code STU only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Billy, we're going to bring in Greg Cody, Chris Cody, Mikey A, the God Bless Football crew for the biggest soccer game in the history of soccer, huh?
I'm excited about this game.
Are you?
I think so. Yeah. I'm excited about this game.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is their moment, right? This is the moment they've been waiting 8 years for, correct?
This is it. Yeah. This is the moment that everyone's been waiting for 8 years.
Yep. Listen, I am well aware that the women's team has had great success in the World Cup. They're the best team ever. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's fantastic. And I love it. I love that team. I am tired of hearing about men's soccer and how it's growing in the United States of America. You want to know what? Sometimes you got to prove it to me. And the way you'll prove it to me is by beating Iran. And not just beating them in a must-win game, win or go home game, and beating them good. You know what I'm saying? But I don't want a 1-0 game. I don't want 2-1. I want 4-0. That's what we should be doing because we're the United States of America. How about that?
That's right. Sure.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad you agree. Let's get to Greg, Chris, Mikey A, myself, Billy, and we'll break down the game for you, I think. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at DraftKings. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odd boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DAN. New customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. How about that? $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DAN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Greg Messi, is he coming or what?
I've been asking that question for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Looking more and more like it. I think we can say that, right?
Why'd things heat up this weekend?
People in rooms together?
The Sunday Times of London had a report that was as definitive and unequivocal as we've seen from major media, saying that it was going to happen, that when the European seasons end next summer, he's going to leave PSG. His contract is up, and he's going to come to Miami. The big surprise there to me is that some people thought he would go back to Barcelona for a swan song season and then, you know, sort of retire to MLS. But as of right now, looks like Miami. Then again, there have already been reports, oh, nothing is signed and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, even Miami says that nothing is signed, but we are in an advanced stage, quote unquote, of negotiation. So
that's my dad's official statement. But as season ticket holders, we are very excited about what it would mean for our tickets.
Yeah.
And selling. And
oh, for sure. I have a column on this that posted online a couple of hours ago. And basically, I devote some of the column to that. Like, if you have Inter Miami season tickets, you just hit the lottery because it's going to be a buyer's market. And you have the gold.
How many seasons are you guys locked up for?
One. I just locked in two seats for this season, like literally a week and a half ago.
Really? Why?
The sales guy was like, it was so funny. The Inter Miami salespeople, they couldn't say it, but they were saying it. They're like, hey, just so you know, if something happens and we sign a big name, these prices are all going to go up. So you might want to get it now.
Mm. And he got me. That's the play.
And I did.
That's the play.
How many games are there? Like 6 or 7, right?
No, it's 30.
30?
34 game season.
Well, so half home, so like 17.
17 home games.
Yeah.
Let's see what the going rate is right now if I were to buy some.
17 home games?
Yes, sir.
Get about half a goal a game.
Well, we're talking about...
Seems worth it.
We're talking about buying season tickets for Inter Miami Stugats just to sell them if Messi comes.
Ah, classic LeBron, Bosh, and Wade, the big three move. I love that.
Like me and my dad have two season tickets, and we've already said if he comes, we're not going to the first game. We're going to profit off that first game.
Yeah. Wow.
Well done.
No, first game is going to play for the other 16.
Yes. Chris.
That's exactly right.
There is still a lot to learn, my friend. What you do is you sell those tickets, and then you or your dad, you call, you get a couple of media credentials. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
That's true.
I'm always here for you.
I have a feeling those media credentials are going to be a little tough to get as well.
Yeah, but you're Greg fucking Cody. That's who you are.
I like my chances, but I think they're also going to have the attitude. If you haven't covered any of our games in the past 3 years, the bandwagon's shut for you.
And that's what my dad says. How offensive is that? I covered the first game in Inter Miami history.
Exactly right. And what you say, right. Where was that game played, Greg? Where was that?
It was right Lockhart? Where it is now. Yep.
Same place.
Lockhart. Okay. Yep.
Right. That's what you say. Listen.
By the way, yeah.
Go ahead, by the way.
I was just going to say, if this messy thing happens, where they're playing right now is comically small. And what they're building near the Miami airport is going to be much too small. Right. You know, Messi.
Witty was saying today that, like, for his first game, they might move it to Hard Rock Stadium. Like,
they would.
Which would stink for our tickets. I mean, I assume they would give us
two tickets. This is outrageous.
I mean, they have to give us the equivalent, right? We're behind we're like second row behind the home bench, right?
Yeah.
Would that sell out?
Yeah, it would.
I think a messy first game with Inter would do really well. I don't know about sell out, but yeah.
Greg, the reason you tell them that, you know, you haven't covered any of the games is because you're such an ardent supporter that you purchase season tickets. Oh, well, what happened to game one? I gave those to my son.
There you go.
Yeah,
I like that play. Yeah, I like that play. I'll keep that.
By the way, he needs media credentials too.
Chris will figure out a way in. Okay, I'm not worried about it. I'm watching this Portugal Uruguay game. Billy, what are you upset about? Before I get to Portugal or Uruguay?
No, I was looking at season tickets. I saw there's one that's like $6,000 the seat, and it's like paying $12,000 for two seats. You're not gonna make that back.
No.
I like that. I like hearing those numbers, though.
Well, where are you sitting? What's your section?
Your section, I got to look it up. We're not directly behind the Inter Miami bench, but like one section to the left, second row. Like, we have good seats.
I'm telling you, when I had those Heat tickets, Bill, I mean, every game felt like game 7 and sold like game 7 of the NBA Finals that first year.
Yeah.
Oh, right, Greg?
Yeah, I remember that. The parking place over at Bayside, the parking was like $50. I mean, it was ridiculous the way they jacked everything up.
So I had section like 118, and I was selling those things. They were expensive, but I was selling them for like 3-4 times the amount. Like, it was crazy, man.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Somebody with money will spend $5,000 to buy the inaugural Messi in Miami ticket.
Hello.
For your seats?
Yes, I believe it. I do. It's a seller's market. We can name the price. Within reason, obviously.
You could name your price. I think the Heat's first home game was against the Orlando Magic, and I'm telling you, I could have sold those things for $10,000 a pop. I ended up – the only game I went to.
And that was Orlando.
And I regret it, yeah.
Well, you can say you went. That's the best of both worlds. You sell your ticket, and then you say you were there.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
As I was saying, Portugal is playing Uruguay as we record this. Uruguay, of course – won the first two World Cups, according to Greg. They won the first and the fourth, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
Memory serves me correct. But I was told a little tip, okay, to take the first half under, which I would have done anyway. But It's looking good right now because it's, of course, 0-0 like every fucking soccer game. So.
What was the over under? Was it zero?
Like a half goal, I think.
Oh, well, you got to punch the under on that one.
Yeah. Half goal. This Ronaldo guy.
Billy, if you were asking, if you're wondering specifically, we're 104 row two.
104 row two. Okay. I was looking. I'm still on this website. I don't know why. By the way, you have a 19-game season. It's a 19-game plan.
Well, I think two of them are like preseason scrimmage. Like, yeah, like technically yeah. 19, but 17 good ones.
17 MLS matches plus two additional home matches. Do you have you have the full plan?
Yeah.
Wow, so you have access to discounted season parking, full access to MLS streaming services on Apple TV app.
10%. What are you working at their ticket office?
I'm on their website right now.
There was like there's a certain ticket level where drinks and food are included, but we did not do that because it was like triple the price.
103. Yeah, you're slightly off to the side. I'm looking in section 132 right now and
right,
101.
We're kind of towards one end of the goal, but we are semi near their bench.
Yeah.
In second row,
you'll make some money.
Yeah, dude. At least that first game. Like, I do think I agree with I think they'll settle down once he's been here a little bit. But I think that first game, like, I don't know. I'm excited to see what those prices look like.
If they get him.
Nine.
Well, that's the thing. You got to get him.
If not, we're going to have some good father-son time.
Yeah. There you go. I like that.
There it is.
There you go.
Would you rather, would the tickets be more expensive if they got Ronaldo or Messi? Which
one? Oh, Messi.
Very similar, Messi? But probably a little bigger for Messi. Mm.
And when you get both?
Oh, forget it. I'm buying season tickets.
Inter Miami doesn't have much interest in Ronaldo.
Why?
My little birdies tell me.
Look at you.
I don't want to liken him to the Kyrie Irving of international soccer, but he isn't exactly the kind of guy who's going to make a harmonious clubhouse, as he's proven at Manchester United. He's also
I love how you have Messi being this real team guy, this big kumbaya guy.
Relatively speaking, Messi is also 2 years younger, 2 years closer to his prime than Ronaldo, which is a big difference.
Messi turned them down and went somewhere else, they would turn their attention to Ronaldo. They don't want Ronaldo right now because they have a chance at Messi.
Well, there's other guys they have their eye on. You know, they're looking at Sergio Busquets from Barcelona and Luis Suarez and some others. I mean, they have irons in the fire besides Messi. But clearly, if we're arguing Messi or Ronaldo, I don't think there's a sane argument there.
How does Ronaldo feel about Jews?
You know, I haven't asked him. Let me text him real quick.
Dad, you compared him to Kyrie. So.
Yeah.
I just mean in terms of the controversy, not the specifics of it.
Oh,
right.
Got it.
The real question is, going into this U.S. game, is Iran going to park the bus again in game two?
Well, let me just say this, Chris. When you compared the Iranian defense to the 85 Bears, I laughed at you.
Yeah.
But after watching them, you are right. They are the monsters of the Middle East. I mean,
the second game, they looked a lot more like
they gave up six goals the first game.
Yeah, the first game. We're going to talk about that game. The second game, though,
they parked the bus.
Yeah.
And so, wait, go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, and in this game with the U.S., a draw benefits Iran and not the U.S. So you could make the argument like a nil-nil game is good for Iran, bad for U.S. So they could park the bus this game. Just
all right. So Chris, just give me and the audience, really me, an idea of where this group is at, just in terms of points, who's in first, whatever. Because you're right, we're headed in to the biggest soccer game in men's United States soccer history. This is it. We've been waiting 8 years for this. And the reason we've been waiting 8 years is we weren't good enough to make it to the last World Cup. So tell us where we're at with this group.
I mean, it's a tight group. I mean, everybody, I think technically Wales could get in if they beat England by some ridiculous. Basically, Wales is out. Wales would have to.
Wales has a point, right?
They would have to beat England the way England beat Iran in that first game. Like, that's what, like, and that's just not going to happen. So we can just eliminate Wales, and it just basically comes down to Iran and U.S. for that second spot. I mean, if the U.S. wins and England draws with Wales, the winner of Iran-U.S. could technically win the group. But look, we're going to assume England beats Wales. They're the number one in the group. And then it's just this game for all the marbles for that second spot of advancing. A draw is now good for the U.S. The U.S. drew their first two games. You can't expect to get out of a World Cup group stage without winning a single game. So this is just one of those games. They've played two. They drew them both. Decent results. You got to win a game. You got to go out there, roll the ball out there, and go win a game.
My complaint, my only complaint about the three-game group stage format is that you get a situation like this occasionally where Iran is playing for a scoreless draw.
What do you mean? Why is that not fair, though? They already won a game against Wales. If it makes
sense. Well, hold on. Can I interrupt for a second? Because when does the game against with England against Wales, when does that occur?
Same time. That's the way they do this in these third games.
Oh, wow. That's tricky.
It's going to start right at the same time. So they do that. And it's going to be, you're going to be watching two games. And but if the U.S. wins, they need no help. No. Right.
Okay, but Greg, are you telling me there's zero chance? Because you guys, we were all talking about Wales and what a decent team they are headed into the World Cup. Are you telling me that England has, that Wales has no shot at beating England? Zero?
I think they would have to win by a goal differential that's not realistic. You know, they're not mathematically eliminated, but virtually they're eliminated. And virtually England is through. It's basically winner take all between the United States and Iran. And because Iran benefits from a scoreless draw, they're not only going to have all of their players back on defense, all 85 million people living in Iran are going to be standing right in front of their goal to prevent the United States from scoring. In all seriousness,
sitting on the bus.
Yeah, that's right. The only advantage to that kind of a strategy by Iran is that it greatly increases the chance of giving up a penalty kick. I mean, if you have that many defenders back against a team that's desperate to score, the chances of drawing a penalty are going to increase. So that could be our hope. That could be the U.S. hope, is winning 1-0 on a penalty.
They'll be flopping everywhere on that field, right? I mean, they have to be.
I think if the U.S. brings the same kind of attack that they did to England, they're going to break through. They had like six or seven good chances, I feel like, against England. If they look like that, if we play the way we did against England, we should be fine. But it's just so scary in a sport like we've made fun of that sometimes just goes months without scoring.
Right.
The U.S. has to score. Like, obvious, this is a clear... This just feels better being an Iran fan going into it.
Yeah, the U.S. should have beaten Wales. They should have beaten Wales, and they held their own with England, one of the superpowers. So I think the U.S. has proved itself in a way, but you're right. If you don't win one match out of three, you do not deserve to go forward.
Agreed. Hold on, I'm just checking out Uruguay and Portugal. Someone almost scored. And by almost scored, they got within 20 feet of the cage. Makes me nervous.
Why are you nervous about this?
It is going to be...
Well, because I bet on it.
Did you? I'm assuming, Stu, guys, when we talked about last time, you did not take a U.S. player to get a hat trick in any game, correct?
I did not take that, no.
Okay, good.
I did.
Yeah.
But I might take it in this game, because this is the biggest game. Pulisic, that guy, right? Put one in the back of the net already. I'm tired of hearing how good he is. Do something. I mean,
his corner. If we're being critical, if I can be critical of Pulisic, the corner kicks have not looked good. He's good with the ball, but he's been taking our corner kicks, and they just all seem low. They don't get high enough. Like,
yes,
I need to see better corner kicks from Pulisic. If I'm
right,
being honest.
His corner kicks are not lending themselves to headers, and off a corner kick, the header is the surest way to score a goal, because goalkeepers find a header harder to defend than a foot kick.
The thing that I'm worried about with this team is if they go down 1-0 in this game early, because there's still going to be time to do it, but it's a young group. I know that a lot of them play in big leagues, so they're kind of used to the pressure, but I just feel like...
Not this kind of pressure.
The weight of a nation...
Of the world. Yes.
Like, right. I'm terrified of an early goal for Iran. I think
you pull the goalie if that happens, right, Bill?
I've been actually wondering that, too. If they're not going to be aggressive, you got to pull the goalie, right? And then you get an extra person there to attack. They're not going for a goal. What's the point of having a goalie out there? What about the old bicycle kick, huh? We haven't talked about that. You guys are talking about headers. What about a good bicycle kick to score a goal?
There was a couple. I think Richarlison in Brazil in their first match had a nice bicycle kick goal.
I would like to question Greg on how he knows that goalies would prefer a regular kick over a header, like he played goalie in a World Cup or something. I mean,
no, but I've played goalie on a smaller level, like a college club team level, and my goalkeeper instructor was actually a guy who had played in like the English second division, a guy named Regis Pitter-Patter.
His name was Regis Pitter-Patter.
Yeah. And almost inevitably, his nickname was Pitter.
Yeah,
but Coach at any Patter. Rate, he told me that, and I've read
Get
it.
Get him on the pod. Since.
I mean, and it makes all the sense in the world, because you can read a shot off a foot. You can read the where you think it's going to go.
Like a foot, a player needs to like load right. up, and you see it coming. Whereas a header,
I see more right. like a header's like right. a frog. It like it's you know it jumps yes. moves exactly haphazardly. Right. Yes.
Thank you.
Exactly yes.
even,
right.
even the guy making the header doesn't always know exactly where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. Whereas the guy making a foot shot has a pretty damn good idea where he wants it to go.
Mm. Billy, can you put that on the poll? Is a header like a frog?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Greg, how do you feel about something I brought up on the show on Monday? Okay. Because everyone's talking about, and Chris just mentioned it, that USA played England. And for the most part, everyone feels like they dominated England, but it's a 0-0 tie. So, and I understand it's like, it feels like a moral victory. It also, it's a nice way of saying the USA choked, right? Because if they severely outplayed England, they should have won the game. But Billy and I think Billy liked this idea. I think Whittingham even liked this idea. So you have a draw, right? And you have judges. And those judges in the group stage, they determine. It's like boxing, Greg, okay?
Yeah.
0-0, no PKs, no overtime, nothing. You go to the judges, and they let you know who dominated the game. And that team gets 2 points. The other team just gets a point. How about that?
Interesting. So they're holding up numbers like Olympic gymnastic scoring or
no, they could how about this? They hold up, they have one flag in each hand, and then they like dramatically just lift the hand with the flag of the person that they think won that.
I will say this, soccer a little bit late to the game, soccer is now into statistical analytics as much as any other sport. So you know exactly how many passes a guy made accurately during a course of a match.
Top
you know,
speed.
The speed. You know the distribution percentage. For example, if the U.S. Had 61% of ball possession to Wales' 39%, you know that exactly. And then that I don't know exactly how that correlates to goals and who wins, but ball possession is incredibly important in soccer as it is in a lot of sports. Mm.
So how do you feel Greg, about the idea?
Yeah, what do you think of that? Because, think about it, Greg, you have to get impartial judges because
celebrities.
You know, why, dude, what you're asking for is so much more controversial than draws.
Why?
Like, we're giving you, instead of win losses, two results, we have three results. Draw right in the middle.
It's okay, so fine. So fine. Make it go to the judges, and the winner gets a point, right? You win by decision. Winner gets a point, loser gets nothing. That's it.
I like it. Win by decision.
Well, I only like it. I only like
hold his hand up.
I only like that because I feel like the U.S. would have gotten that approval in that last game. Like if it had gone the other way and England looked great and it was nil-nil, I would not want your way. Like the only reason I want your way is because it would benefit the USA.
No, you play 90 minutes of soccer or 105. I hate that. I hate that the refs are the only ones who know how much fucking time is left on the clock in the second half. It drives me bonkers. Okay. But you play 90 minutes of soccer, okay? 100 minutes, whatever it is. Someone needs to get a point. I mean, and you dominate, Chris. You play 100 minutes. You have the ball for 70 of those 100 minutes. It's clear that you dominated the game. Yeah. USA deserves a point
you
there.
You didn't get a goal, though.
That's true.
Yeah. Matt Turner, this could age poorly if he doesn't play well against Iran, but Matt Turner, good goalie for the U.S., made some big saves.
He's been pretty good. I think the best half of soccer I've seen the U.S. play was in the first match against Wales. They were totally aggressive. They were rewarded with a 1-0 lead, and then they went into a shell in the second half. I thought the coaching strategy in that first match not only didn't work, but was pretty suspect on the face of it.
Yeah. They should have beaten Wales. I mean.
Yeah.
Yes, they should have. And you could argue they should have beaten England as well, although that's a tougher sell.
Hmm.
Right. Back to the judges for a second. Billy wants celebrity judges.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have to. Like The Rock would be one of the judges.
Mm. Yeah, celebrity American judges. Yes.
Right. The Rock, who's never seen a soccer match, he would be out there going, yeah, that team.
Okay, how about this? How about this?
So people with potential clear biases.
No, okay, I'm glad you asked that because here's the solution. Okay, 5 celebrity judges, 2 celebrities for each team's country, right? And then 1 celebrity that is not a resident of either country.
Well, that's the way they do it for officials. Like an official can't be from Iran. Or like maybe all 5 should be from different countries.
Wouldn't you rather have somebody who doesn't know soccer? Because they could kind of look at it from afar and be like, listen, I don't know much about this.
That's what I'm thinking.
That team definitely
too.
Looked like they were winning.
That, exactly.
I don't
exactly
want Stugatz deciding who was the better side.
Why not?
Why? He knows everything about soccer.
Because he's just like rooting for goals. He's not watching the beautiful game.
Oh, please. He used to watch the Cosmos. He's watched more soccer than you've lived.
I was watching soccer before you were born, my friend.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I mean, gee, like, what do you know about Giorgio Canalia? Anything?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Spell it. Spell his
Franz
name.
Franz Beckenbauer. Come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, GC. GC.
Billy, I'm just trying to think of the Iraqi celebrities that we would try out there.
That's not for us to figure out. I mean, they'll have the celebrities that they'll bring out. What's Coach Patter up to, by the way?
Not Iraqi.
Regis Pitter-Patter? I don't even know if he's still with us, to be honest with you. Mm. At the time, which is in the late 70s, he's middle-aged, so he may well be in that great pitch in heaven. I know.
Yeah.
Great pitch in heaven.
It's unfortunate.
That's right.
I'm that's checking out Iraqi celebrities right now.
But they're playing Iran.
Iraqi.
Oh, Iranian. Yeah, that's right. Iraq. Yes. Yeah. Right. Oh, they're playing Iran. It's the biggest game ever.
Both are going to be tough to find, probably, some like popular celebrities.
I'm sure they have pop stars and such.
No, that we've heard of.
A bit myopic of you, Chris, thinking only celebrities could only be American. I mean, what's happening?
I was just trying to find that payoff of like a name that we would know. But
Chris, I'm wondering, maybe you could look it up because I'm looking up Iranian celebrities. Like, if Cameroon played, what celebrities would they? Or Ghana? Like, who are they trying?
Yeah, there you go. They're long Ghana. I would like Cameroon to play macaroon. I think we should combine soccer teams and delectable desserts.
I like
a
that.
Bracket. Yeah, thank you.
Dad, you guys should have seen my dad. We were watching the England game at a bar.
You guys look like stars.
And my dad trying to get a Let's Go States chant going.
I did get one going.
I mean, we had to like tell people to do it. Like, way you wanted it portrayed on the internet was like, oh, wow, look, people are doing Let's Go States. And it was.
Of course. Know. Yeah. No, I portrayed it to make myself look good. Can you blame me?
What should we do, Greg, in preparation for tomorrow? Because I know this is like a thing that some people do. Like, what should the official cheers for tomorrow be so we can practice them now so that we're good for the game?
Well, you know, everybody there is going to be chanting USA.
Yeah.
I think we ought to be the, you know, be zig when others are zagging or vice versa and be the group that goes, let's go States.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
Yeah.
You got to elongate the go. Let's go States.
Yeah.
So Andre Agassi's dad, Mike Agassi, was a he's Iranian. He was an Olympian boxer. Huh. How about that?
Wow.
Mike Agassi could be a good celebrity judge.
Yeah.
Who knew Agassi was an Iranian name?
Mikey A.
Get Andre to do the U.S. father and
wow.
son.
Yeah, I like it.
That's
add
good.
A level of drama to it.
Oh, Mike Agassi died in 2021.
Oh, that's problematic.
That'd be a tough get.
Yeah.
He's up in the,
with Coach Pitter-Patter.
Pitch in the sky, Greg.
That's right. He and Pitter-Patter are arguing right now who's going to win the game.
Speaking of, thinking people are alive who are dead, my dad has on the Greg Cody show this week his top 25 songs of all time in which he forgot David Bowie was dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's only been dead 7 years. You know, I'm catching up to current events. Give me a break.
My dad was talking about one of his songs. He's like, when you watch him play it live, he starts it different every time. And I was like, Dad, I don't think he's starting it different.
Well, he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, just change does to day. Did, and I'm fine.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Genius, David Bowie.
Yes, he was. Shockingly, he did not have a spoiler alert. He didn't may or may not have had a song in my top 25 all
did.
The time.
I just said he did.
He did. That's why we were talking about it.
What song was it? I can't even remember.
Oh, good.
Oh, I do. I know now.
We You're can right. be heroes.
Yeah, yeah, heroes. Spoiler alert.
Mm.
Make people funnel people to the podcast. Don't give them all the goods.
I so desperately want to know the top 25.
Of course you do. It's like a brush fire.
Surprisingly, only two Elton John songs in there.
There you go.
Really?
Greg, what did you make of Elton's last concert here in the U.S. last week?
It's not his last concert.
Never his last concert.
In the U.S. it was. It was his farewell.
He says, yeah. You know, it was a little bombastic. Did you stay up for it, Dad?
I remember it was like, wasn't it airing?
It was
like
at midnight. It was on the West Coast. Yeah.
Yeah.
You stayed up for it though, right? Or did you not make it?
No, I stayed up for it, and he had on three special guests, which sort of dilutes, you know, the Elton John aspect of it when you have on, you know, three guests to join you. But I thought it was good. It was emotional. You know, I've seen him so often that I've seen the best and worst of him. And that was such a theatrical production, his last Dodger Stadium concert, that it took away a little bit of the musicality of it, I thought. Mm. But
did you weep?
No, I'm beyond that. I did the last time I saw him live locally. I teared up on a couple of songs because of the moment, you know, because knowing that this is as many dozens of times as I've seen him over decades, this is the last time I'm ever going to see him live. And unless we travel somewhere to see him at a festival or something, because I think he is going to perform the occasional.
He'll be back here in a year and a half.
He'll be back.
Yeah. Dad, he's coming back.
It's odd that his last show at Dodger Stadium was treated differently than his last show at Sunrise, Florida.
Well, I think Greg saw him in it was a very intimate setting, was it not?
It was at Hard Rock, which seats like, I don't know, 8,000 or so. And live, Hard Rock is spending huge money to get a lot of big name stars there. That was not officially part of his farewell tour concert series.
That's what I mean. Like, he's got his farewell concert series, and then he's got his small venues. He's going to be back. He'll be back by the end of the year.
Okay, you're cynical. November. You're cynical. He's not going to be done recording or performing, but this is, I believe when he says this is his last mammoth world tour.
Yeah.
I'm with Chris. He'll have a 100-city American United States tour announced in 30 days.
Also, Elton John, at this point in your career, less recording, more touring. I mean, Jesus.
The comeback tour. After a year off, the comeback tour.
Admit it, Dad. You're as big an Elton John fan as there is. He hasn't made a good song in like 20 years.
He had a number one hit a couple months ago, didn't he?
Yeah, that was Dua Lipa.
With Dua Lipa.
That was all Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa was there. You didn't like that, Greg?
I did. I thought it was a nice catchy tune. Less so the more recent duet with Britney Spears. I didn't like it as much, but
no.
I thought Dua Lipa was a good duet.
Like very hot.
You know what Greg doesn't like? He doesn't like young singers getting fucking Elton John's way. He doesn't need anyone else up there with him. Yeah. That's what it is.
And the other thing, Christopher, you don't measure iconic legendary artists by whether they've had a hit recently.
Yeah,
I
know.
I mean, the Rolling Stones are still the Rolling Stones.
But you just said he's still recording it. And I'm just saying, if you're Elton John at this point, play the hits. Like, you're an icon. No one wants to hear your new music.
Wow.
Okay, well, I do.
Me too.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm kind of with Chris.
I think, you know, I've invented
Yellow
several
Brick
things
Road,
over the years.
Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. Is that the name of it?
Whatever. You know. Crocodile Rock.
Play the hits.
Okay.
I go to Billy Joel or Elton John. I want to see the hits at this point. I don't need to see new music. Pearl Jam did that to me. They tried to trot out a couple of new songs. Get the hell out of here.
If I hear Billy Joel say this at any point during his concert, all right, I'm going to play this off my new album.
Yeah, beer time.
I'm going to get a drink.
Yeah, that's the bathroom break. No, you're right. And some artists go overboard. Like Bob Dylan is notorious for that. I've seen Dylan in concert where he played one song. And I'm a Dylan fan. I have several of his albums. In an entire concert, he played one song I knew. It was Tangled Up in Blue. And other than that, he intentionally
that's a middle
played
finger
the most obscure
the
songs.
That's a middle finger to the people at that concert.
You could make that argument. I left pretty disappointed, I'll tell you that.
Hmm. Well, I hit my under.
Congrats. Scores don't get lower than nil-nil, although in soccer sometimes they threaten to.
Should we do predictions? Should we do predictions for USA?
Yeah, we should. I want to ask Greg, though, quickly how he's been enjoying the World Cup experience. Like, are you watching all the games, just the United States games? What's going on? Like, because Mike was making the claim there was too much sports over the weekend, but he takes soccer very seriously. For me, it's an ancillary thing in the background, and I'm really just focused on the U.S. team. So I was fine. with how the weekend played out. How have you been consuming this thing?
I've been consuming mostly the U.S. I've been dialed into the American matches, but I watched France the other day. I'm a France fan. I watched some of the Netherlands match a couple of days ago. I'm a fan. I am. I like seeing the different styles. But I definitely have a prediction on the U.S. game if you want me to start it off.
Ooh. I do. France is advanced, right?
Yeah. Yeah. France is really good. They're like a top five club.
Only two teams have advanced so far, right?
I'm not positive.
I think it's France and Germany, maybe?
Yeah. No, not Germany. Germany lost their first game. It's someone that went 2-0, whoever went like their first two games.
Brazil. I know
France is definitely one of them. Yes, and Brazil. Brazil's 2-0.
I was looking up Elton John and his last music that he put out. Did you guys know he made a Christmas song with Ed Sheeran called Merry Christmas last year?
I did, and it was a big hit in England.
Yeah, it was number one. Was it good?
It was a novelty hit, but it was very popular. It was the number one song in England during the holiday season.
Greg, I'm interested in getting your thoughts on this. Sorry to cut you off, because this is a debate that happened in my family over the Thanksgiving and the Thanksgiving Day parade in regards to Christmas. So I heard that there's been a bit of a feud going on between Dolly Parton and Mariah Carey as to who is the queen of Christmas. And Dolly Parton claims that she is the queen of Christmas because she has lots of Christmas movies and Christmas music, whatever. And Mariah Carey obviously has her one Christmas song that reportedly gets her $2.5 million a year. That's made her over $70 million. So who would you regard as the queen of Christmas?
Wow. I can't give you a king, right? It has to be a queen.
Well, it could be a king as well.
Who would be the king? I'm interested.
Yeah, who's the king of Christmas?
I mean, seems like it'd be Santa Claus. I mean,
Der Bringer with White Christmas, Bing Crosby.
Mm.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Der Bringer. Mm. But among those two, I don't particularly... Not a huge fan of either woman, so I don't really.
Oh,
they can have a fight. Mm. They can have like a UFC.
This has been
fight
a banner
for
minute for you, by the way. Can we do men instead? I don't like any of those broads.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Yes,
thank you.
I go Mariah Carey.
I did too. My mom was like, you know what? She shouldn't be fighting with Dolly. It's not nice. Like Dolly's upset that she says that she's the queen of Christmas, and then I said, well, Mom, Mariah is the queen of Christmas. Right. This isn't even a debate. What are we doing?
I kind of agree with your mom. I mean, Dolly's at the age where it's like, Mariah, just let her be the, like, you know, like let
her. Nah, it's Mariah's thing, though, you know?
Yeah.
Greg?
It seems very Mariah-y to want that title.
It really does.
Yeah. Stugatz?
Yeah.
Those are the only two nominations on the board? Like, that's it?
You can nominate another one, I suppose.
Queen of Christmas.
Not Mrs. Claus. None of that silliness. It's a serious question.
Not?
Well, because it's a serious question. This is God Bless Football.
Well, that's...
What about Earlene Cody? Because no one turns a house into a winter wonderland better than my mom.
She really?
The day after Thanksgiving, it's just like you snap your fingers and my parents' house is a winter wonderland.
So let's go on. Can we go on a tour of the winter wonderland? We're a couple days removed from Thanksgiving.
I'm not in a position to do that right now because we're not fully wonderlanded yet. Plus, we're in the throes of having.
Apparently, it's not like this. Then.
Yeah, I was going to say that kind of ruined your whole snap.
Apparently,
right,
once the kids moved out, when I was there, it was always just the day after Thanksgiving. Okay. Like, is mom getting a little lazy, Dad?
Oh. No. And you know, we're halfway there, but Charlie, the world's largest puppy.
Ooh, is he everything. Back?
He has influenced our interior decorating. Let's just put it that way.
He eats everything.
Jumping Charlie's back?
Jumping Charlie is back.
That's Jack. Classic Jumping Charlie right there.
It was a waste of $3,000. My dad won't say it, but I'll say it for him.
Okay, yeah. I wish you paid the $3,000.
The dog is still a monster. They spent $3,000, sent him away for a month, and he came back, and he is still a monster.
Okay. I'm not the owner of the dog is not saying that. You are.
You could have had more fun. You could have had more fun if you brought $3,000 in the backyard and just urinated on it.
Okay. Mm. Well, when it dries out, it's still good. It's still
yeah, if it makes you feel That's better, true. I'm wasting a whole lot more on college, okay?
So, yes.
I don't think
there you go.
I don't think dog training school and college are equivalents, but
yeah. Plus, Stugatz, your daughters are not going to come home and start chewing all the furniture.
Well, they did come home from Thanksgiving. Did they chew on anything?
We don't know that.
No, they didn't. Not that I'm aware of, Bill. They didn't.
Wait, so what was Jumping Charlie supposed to learn while he was away?
JC.
The main thing he was supposed to learn, which he has learned to a large degree, is not to jump.
Yeah.
Not to.
So now it's just Charlie
with his love when they walk in the.
So they do this thing for 4 months where it's a lot of just like staying near the person. A lot of videos get sent to my mom of the dog walking right next to someone where my mom's thinking, oh, wow, this dog seems really well behaved. And then when you come pick up the dog, they hand you this clicker and they say, hey, we put something on his collar. If he doesn't listen, use this thing. And it's like, wow, you could have just given me this and I could have saved the $3,000. But it's like, it's just
I can't disagree with that.
$29.99
Right. Buy 10 of them. So when he chews one, he's already chewed his zapper, by the way. That's
they come back. They're like, all right, so we've had him for 4 weeks. He's going to listen. But if he doesn't, buzz him with this. He hates it.
Right.
The ultimate scam for rich people.
And is Jumping Charlie responding well to that, or?
He is, he ain't stupid. I mean, no, yeah. he does something wrong and all of a sudden he gets a little jolt. And it's animal rights activists are going to be hearing this and think it's cruel and unusual. It's an actual training method that's used.
And it's a noise. It's not a jolt. You're making it sound way worse. It's like a really high-pitched noise that he doesn't like.
The trainer let me feel it. He put the prongs on my arm and let me feel the various levels because the levels are anywhere from 0 to 90. And even at like 25, it's just the tiniest little tingle.
You should bring that in tomorrow to the studio.
Yeah, I should. What he does is, what that does is it distracts the dog. Mm, okay, the dog's starting to jump, and all of a sudden he feels something on his neck, and it's like, whoa, what was I doing? Was I jumping? I forget, you know.
Mm. Chris, are you sure on the start times for the games? Because it seems like Wales versus England is an hour before the United States game.
No, that's because Fox tries to get you to tune in for like it's like coverage starts at 1. Both games kick off at 2.
Yeah. Okay, they just said their coverage for that game starts at noon and the USA game starts their coverage starts at 1. That's all I'm saying.
I'm looking at the World Cup schedule right now on my phone and I see 2 p.m. for both games tomorrow and 10 a.m. for the group like the Qatar group and Ecuador. Their games both start at 10 and ours both start at 2, but I don't know.
Okay.
That's all I know is what that says.
I see it here on ESPN also. Both of them at 2.
Both of them at 2, okay.
But it's the U.S. is luckily in a spot where that game doesn't matter at all. Like, there are a lot of groups you're watching both games because I need this team to win and then I got to lose. Like, the U.S., win, in.
That's winner take matters. All.
Just focus on winning. Yeah.
Yep.
Focus on winning. Do we have a line for the game? Because this is the listen, we started God Bless Football for this game in particular.
Football.
Okay? It's a win-or-go-home game for the United States of America. Billy and I feel like the U.S. is not only going to win this game, but they're going to win the entire World Cup.
Yep.
So what I am wondering, Chris, do we have a spread?
Yep.
Not that it matters because I'm taking the United States anyway, but let's get to the picks here because people are waiting on them because we're experts.
And yeah, so clamoring for them. Feel.
Right now, the betting favorite, I guess, is U.S. to win at plus 100, draw plus 240, Iran to win plus 300. Mm. So, I think that, the Joe Public's going to probably tend to be on America. So I feel like their number's a little slanted at that. But I don't know, man.
We're supposed to win. Plus 100?
Yeah, plus 100 to win the game, which is pretty
good. 100 wins me 200.
Well, no. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you don't profit. Yes. If I put, no, that would be plus 200. You bet, whatever you bet, that's what you win. Plus 100 means, if I bet $100, money. I win $100. I get my 100 back that I'm risking, so that way it's technically $200, but...
Okay, got it.
Hmm. Profit 100.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Listen, we're taking the United States.
Iran is going to back the bus up. They're really good. U.S. is going to win by 5. That's just the way it's going to happen.
There you go.
That's just the way it's going to happen.
Like EA said, screw your bus.
But that's
5-0. Mm-hmm.
Do we have an over... Do we have a
6-1.
Total?
Come on.
Is there a total for the game? First half total and total for the game.
2.5 goals seems to be about, because there's a bunch of them. Obviously, DraftKings offers a ton of them, but the odds just change. But the one that seems to be the most normal odds is 2.5 goals. Over is plus 130, under minus 160.
Okay. So. And who do we feel like is going to score the big goal or a couple of the goals? Do we have?
Well, you know, Pulisic hasn't got one yet. I don't know which striker. The U.S. has like three strikers that they kind of like use a lot, so I don't know which striker is going to be up there. But, you know, I mean, Pulisic would be probably the betting favorite just because he's the biggest name. But I don't know, man. I'll take anyone.
Who takes penalties for the U.S.? I'm not
Pulisic,
even
sure. Pulisic.
You have the odds on Pulisic scoring a goal?
Let me see.
It's plus 600.
Yeah. Whoever takes penalties, the odds on them are greatly exaggerated.
Well, actually Pulisic's a plus 250 anytime scorer, plus 650 first score, plus 650 last score.
Hmm.
Got it.
He's the lowest one. Jordan Morris, I guess, is the same.
That's what anytime. I'm looking for. I'm looking for a guy in the United States who could not named Pulisic who would be a good value to score a goal.
How about Alexi Lalas running onto the field in a three-piece suit and scoring a goal? Is that, can you get odds on that or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm taking it.
Maybe Weston McKennie plus 400. Timothy Way scored the first goal, our only goal. All the odds are pretty similar.
How about Timothy Bay? What are the odds on him scoring?
The main three guys the three U.S. guys with the least, like with the best chance of scoring, are their three strikers: the Haji Wright, Sargent, and Ferrari.
Imagine that.
What's Sargent at?
Plus 200, like less than Pulisic. It's a worse number.
I can't.
Anytime goal?
Yeah.
I can't bet on Matt Turner to score a goal.
No.
No.
You can't.
All right. I'm going to make a quick prediction here, and I'm going to be shockingly specific.
Okay. So Greg's going to go first here with his predictions. United States, Iran, it's the biggest soccer game in the history of soccer.
Okay. The U.S. is going to win 2-0.
Wow.
Their first goal is going to be on a penalty kick, after which Iran is going to be so desperate for a draw, they're going to ridiculously push forward, and the U.S. is going to score its second goal on a counterattack.
Wow.
I was thinking 2-0 too, U.S., like before he said it. So I'm not going to change. I'm going to stick with my dad. I agree with him. I'm not going to go that detailed, but I agree. 2-0.
Hmm. All right. So Greg and Chris both have 2-0. Greg has a PK followed by a pressing Iranian team that gives up another goal because they're pressing.
Is the goal late in the game, like when they really start pressing? Like the second goal is late in the game?
I think the first goal is late in the first half, and the second goal is in the 60-minute range.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Are you going to make a bet or any prediction on who will score, a goal for the U.S. or two goals?
I would think very heavily that Pulisic is going to score the penalty kick.
Okay, got it.
And the second goal is just a crapshoot. I have no idea.
It could be anyone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Chris is 2-0 as well. Billy,
Mikey
where are
you A's going? Already. Mikey A already said what, 6-1?
Yeah, he left no room for me to go higher than him because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. Bullshit what he did. Yeah.
Especially because the bus is backed up.
Yeah.
And parked.
Yeah. So, Billy, keep in mind, like, Iran's coming into this game thinking we just need a draw and we advance.
Yeah.
Okay? So, do with that what you will. But
I think the U.S. wins 3-1.
They give up a goal, huh?
Yeah, I think Iran's going to sneak one in there, and it's going to be the taste of blood that they needed in their mouth to motivate them. And then, three goals.
You got them down going down 1-0 in the game.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. In a game that they don't need to win, I think it's going to happen.
Wow.
Because
if they go up 1-0, they will literally park a fucking bus in that goal. Man.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
With no tires. I mean, all right, I'm going to take the United States here, obviously. I'm going to go 4-0 U.S.
Obviously.
Wow.
I'm going to go 3-0 U.S.
Actually. No. Do 4.
All right, I'll do 4.
Yeah, 4 is bolder.
Yeah, 4 is good.
4-0 U.S. I'm going to have Pulisic with a goal. And Chris, name me those three strikers.
The one who played the first game, I'm scrolling back up. Right, Sargent played the first game, and Haji Wright played the second. I don't know if he's going to – maybe he starts the third guy. I would think they looked – I wouldn't be surprised if Haji Wright comes back in, because I think – even though I think my dad said they looked the best against Wales, I think they looked the best in the England match. So I think they stick with that lineup and go with Haji Wright, but I have no information there. Reyna is another guy. He hasn't started the first two games, but he's come off the bench, and he's a guy that we – he's like the next best thing that's like Pulisic. He can create his own
goal. What's his value for a goal?
He's plus 250, him and Pulisic. I wouldn't even be surprised if he starts, too, because they looked good when he came on.
So what's Sargent, plus 250?
Sargent is plus 200, and Wright's plus 200, and Reyna and Pulisic are plus 250.
All right. I'm going Wright with a goal, Pulisic with a goal, Reyna with a goal, and Haji with a goal.
Boom.
How about that?
How about that?
Four different goal scorers for the U.S.
I mean, I think only like either Sargent or Wright will play, so one of those is going to be wrong off rip. But you don't know which one, so you might as well just take them both.
Right. Well, they can both play, right?
You might
want
to wait. You should wait to place those bets until right before the game because they do release the lineups.
All right, but we know Pulisic is starting and playing most of the
games. Yeah, Pulisic's definitely.
I can safely take him, right?
But between Wright and Sargent, I might wait.
All right, so I'll wait. But whoever starts, Wright or Sargent, I have them scoring a goal. Okay. And I have Reyna scoring a goal.
Cool. Yeah, that's
even though he hasn't started. Okay.
Those are our guys. Those are the guys we need to. Right there. Right. The names we just said, those are the names that can carry America into the
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go. States!
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 Perfect timing.
States. God bless football.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.